Wow. It's exciting. Like, I love that we just have, like, so many just good people, yeah, who just, like, I love that it's not just, like, one person or a couple of people who, like, say, this is the word of God for the church, this is what's happening, whatever, but that there's so many guys that will just get up and they'll just declare, like, the word of God and what God's saying to them, and that there's such power in that. And if this is your first time explosion, then welcome, and you're joining a very fantastic group of people who love God and just want to see His purpose fulfilled in our city. So, nice work, guys. I think, like, we always be like, oh, it's hard to follow that. But I think it's exciting that we can just get so much in one night. It's so good. Anyway, this week is Vision Week. And so I thought I would add my 2 cents to the vision and talk about vision for this year and just stuff that I feel like God is kind of saying and things that are, like, I'm excited about and I think we're going to see happen this year, and I'm really pumped for, because I really believe that, like, as a body and as individuals, God has so much in store for us this year. He has got all this stuff just built up, ready to go, just waiting for us to just engage with it, just for us to take hold of and us to move in, amen. And if you weren't here this morning, download the podcast of Dad's message, because it just sounded like it was just an incredible message about building the body of Christ, and really get that into you and get that into your life and your heart, amen. I mean, it's really good to get podcasts, and you can get podcasts from pretty much anyone in the world now and fill your week with really good teaching, but make sure that it actually does something in your life, amen. Don't just, you know, get fat. Anyway, so, it's funny, but it's true. We can get so fat as Christians on just good teaching without actually letting it impact our lives. It's not much good to carbo load if you're not going to exercise. Is anybody else there? You can't just eat protein shakes and not exercise. You will not build muscle. You'll just get bigger. Yeah? Anybody who does that knows that I'm telling the truth. Don't point at people and look at people. Fair go. That's right. Look in the mirror. I really believe that just God has so much for us this year, and He has so much more for us in 2011, amen? He's got more growth, more breakthrough, more blessing, more salvations, more success, more everything, personally and as a church, as a group of people, as a ministry. God just has so much for us. And I think it's more. It's not like it's different. It's not like we're changing everything and doing some whole new thing and the whole purpose of God just completely changed this year. Really, it's the same every year. But I just really believe there's just going to be more of it. Amen. I really believe that explosion, what we have like here and what we have as a church and as youth and young adults is just like this community of people, this community of believers that just want to glorify God with their lives and just show His love to our city, amen? And that's my vision this year, that we would just see more and more the love of God displayed through our lives, through the things that we do together and separately, to the people around us, so that our friends, our family, the people that we work or study with will get to know what Jesus has done for them and how much God loves them through the way that we live, amen? And so I just have like a few key things I think tonight that I want to share about that I think are like kind of key areas of vision, I guess, for us this year and that I really think if we can get and if we can engage with and do something with, that God's going to do incredible things, amen? So you excited? You with me? I would really love to see a group of young people here that, like, whose love for God pours out in love for other people, yeah? Whose love for God and desire to fulfill His purpose and keep His commands and devote themselves to Him will make a difference in their world, yeah? That when you go into your workplace, like Mitch was saying, that you would tell a story of God's love and grace and strength and justice and mercy and that would be what is seen by people because of the way that you live your life, yeah? And I really believe that we'll see the growth that we want personally and as a church. We will see the things that we want, the things that we're excited about, the things that we really feel is going to happen when we devote ourselves to God, to what He wants to do in our lives, to His people, to His purpose, and we let Him just transform our lives from the inside to the outside. And when we do that, then we will see, I think without even trying and without being able to stop it, we will see the breakthrough that we want to see. We will see the stuff happen that we want to see happen. Amen? Good. So we've just got a few key areas of vision that I just want to share around tonight. So maybe you can write them down. And I've just got a few kind of key scriptures for those that I think are just scriptures for me that are key. But really, I think as a group and as a church, as a whatever this is, that's something strong for us. So the first thing is community. I really think vision and a key thing for us this year is building a community of believers, building a community of faith, yeah? I think that we live in this world where people are simultaneously losing community and craving community, yeah? And we have this world that is just getting like, I don't know, bigger and more complicated and more intense and harsher and stuff is going on. And so we're losing this thing where you have like an automatic community, but we crave it all the more and we desire it all the more. And we see in times of crisis that people come together in communities because that is the way we work. That is how we were made to live. And that is what we all desire. I was really interested to be watching the cricket this afternoon. And they were talking about what the cricket community had done for the flood crisis. And I'm really interested that the only time people use the word community when they talk about like something like a sport is when there's some need that they're facing. And so then the cricket community does something together to respond to a need. And it's interesting how when we want something done, when we see something that needs to happen, when we feel like a time of crisis, we naturally will band into a community. And the incredible thing is that we hold the answer to this need in our world. We hold like the hope of Christ. We hold the presence of God in us. We are the body of Christ, yeah? And the church is not just a service. It's not just a building, but it's a community of faith. It's a community of believers that act and live together in love and that do things for God's kingdom, yeah? And that do things for their world, amen? It's like a family or a home, and that's a community, and that's the answer that we have, amen? Yeah. In Acts 4, this is one of the kind of ones that we're going to look at, key things to look at tonight. Acts 4:32 says this. This is the early church. This is the first kind of church. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. And with great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in all of them that there were no needy persons among them. I love it that it says that when the people had one heart and one mind, when the people were all gathered together and were about each other's needs and building this community of faith, when that was happening, it says God's hand was on it. And that there was nobody in need at all, yeah? Yeah. It says that God's grace was so at work that there was no needy people. It doesn't say that like they were so rich that there were no needy people. It says that God's grace was at work. And for us to build a community of faith and a community of believers, we need God's grace, yeah? We need the love and the grace of God joining us together, because we can sit in a group and you can talk to the same people every week and you can go to your life group and all that stuff without actually having a community, without grace, without the love of God. You're just going to get annoyed at people. But we are called to be the body of Christ, and we are called to be just like the early church, where when we see needs, we fulfill those needs, where we don't let somebody in the community be in need. Amen? Are we being the body of Christ? Is that picture of the early church a picture of us as a community of believers. That's like my vision for this year, and I think God's vision for us and for us as a church and as young people is this community of believers. Yeah, amen. I was thinking about Jesus and the way he lived. And like, if we're called to be the body of Christ, then let's look at how the body of Christ worked when he was on earth. And Jesus didn't really care so much about meetings or church services. Like, Jesus had meetings where he taught people, but he cared about people more than he did about whether the service was on time, yeah? And he cared about the needs of people around him, yeah? Does the place that we create foster that atmosphere? And I don't just mean like, do we have a good kind of hangout or atmosphere on a Sunday night? I mean, does the place that you create in your own heart and in your own life have this atmosphere of community? Does the thing that you bring into your workplace feel like home to somebody? Really struck that, like, wherever I am, I'm a representative of Jesus, but I can bring, like, this sense of belonging with me. And that it doesn't have to be, like, me and all of my friends from church hanging out in the one place to bring a community of faith and to bring a sense of God's presence and peace and love. But right where I am during the week, every day, I can bring this community, this feeling of home that comes from having God in my life and God outpouring from me. Amen? So whether it's in your life group, whether it's in our Sunday night service or a youth program on a Friday night, or maybe you're just sitting at your desk at work, we can be building a community of faith, a community of believers that share everything, have everything in common and nobody in need, yeah? Are we like an exclusive club, or are we like a welcome open house? I don't mean like, I was thinking about this and thinking about community and being together and sharing everything. And I was thinking, well, we're not like a hippie commune, like where we're all going to do that and we're going to move out into the country, yeah, or something like that. Because that's kind of closed. Like once you've got your group and you go off to the bush, that's it. Nobody else is going to join. But that's not what the community that God wants to build is like. The community that God wants to build is open. It's welcoming. It has these doors that just aren't shut ever, and that people always can join that community where there's no judgment, where there's no criticism or negativity, but there's life and encouragement and community and love, and people feel like they're home. Amen. And I really believe that we have so much of that already, but I really believe that we need to step that up, particularly just lifting each other up, encouraging each other, supporting each other. You know that, like, people's needs might not just be, like, that they need to pay their rent this week or they need some food or something. Maybe their need is nobody has said anything nice to them for 5 years. Maybe their need is that they're always getting put down by other people. And the community that they need is someone to just tell them they're a legend and share something, buy them a coffee, I don't know. Like, maybe it's simple, maybe it's little, maybe that's not very spiritual, but that's a community of believers, yeah, sharing together so that nobody has any needs. All right, so number one, community. Number two, I think, like, an area of vision that I really feel is important is mission. And I'm not just talking about, like, our overseas missions, although that is really important, but I mean, like, having a mission focus where we don't just attend services, but we're really engaged with what God's called us to do and do the job that has been set for us, yeah, where we really fulfill the purpose of God in our lives and what he has made for us to do, yeah, and that's like as a person, the thing that God has called you to do with your life, the thing that he has set for you, and as a church, the things that he has called for us, but so much simpler than that, just the purpose of your life, not just being about yourself and your own needs, but being about sharing Christ with the world. Sharing with people the love of God, amen, and keeping that as just like this focus. We are not a group that just wants warm chairs. Like, we don't. That's not the purpose of us gathering together. We don't do it to kind of heat the building up, or I don't know, something like that. We gather together as a community right now in church to be like equipped and encouraged to then go out and fulfill what God's got for us, yeah? And what he's done for us. And that's the purpose that we got. So the question is, like, what has God got for you in 2011? What is the purpose that God has for your life in 2011? I'm talking about, like, outside of church, outside of these walls, outside of the things that you can do, like just sitting in your seat or standing on a platform. But what has God got for you in 2011? Who are the people that he has put on your heart and put in your life? Who are the people that you are working with that, you know, need the touch of God? Who are the needs that you're seeing around you in the community that you know you've been called to do something about? If we can engage with the mission that God has given each of us, then we will see the growth that we want to see, and we will see people saved. Amen. In Matthew 5, Dad actually shared this verse this morning, but it's one of my favorite verses. And just a bit of trivia, the senior high program on a Friday night is called Neon. And it's not just because we thought it was a funky name, but it actually does have significance, and it kind of fits with this passage anyway. Says this, it says, "You're the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." This really simply is our mission. This really simply is our purpose and why we are in the places that we are in. Yeah, it's to be salt and it's to be light. It's to shine the light of God, to show what God has done in your life to the people around you so that they see the things that you do, and it points them towards God, yeah? It points them towards your Father in heaven, amen? And so, like, really, I think we need to be people that are just getting mission-focused, yeah? It's so easy to get distracted. I have, like, usually, if I'm just at work or whatever, I have a to-do list where I write out just the things that I want to get done that day. And probably lots of people do that. If you don't, then you should do something like that. Otherwise, you'll never get anything done. But it's so easy to get distracted away from the things on the list. And then you get to the next day and your list is sitting on your desk and you've ticked like one box on that. And that was the thing that was like, check your email. You're just like, well, I did that. So I did something, and you add things to the list after you've done them so that you feel better about your list. But anyway, but it's so easy to see that there's a job there and lose focus on it. But when you get focus on that job and you say, all right, I'm going to spend the next, now this is just like practical, but if I say I'm going to spend the next hour on that task, you'll be surprised how much you can get done, yeah? And I really believe in our lives we need to be mission-focused, not just going through and kind of letting things happen, but say, well, in this week, in this day, what does God want me to do? What has he got on my list of things to do this week? Who is there that he wants me to talk to this week? And as we focus on that mission and on that task, then we see things happen, amen? So I really believe my vision in 2011 is to get outside the church walls, yeah? To reach out and to be in the world and to make a difference there. I really feel like practically this means that we want to do more stuff outside of church. More outreach, more reaching into the community, more fulfilling needs around us. In just a real practical way, just fulfilling the mission that we've been set. Because Jesus didn't say go into all the churches and sit on the seats. Is to go into all the world and make disciples, amen? So I think, number one, like we want to build a community of believers, a community of faith that is open and welcoming. And two, we want to be mission-focused. And the third thing I want to talk about tonight is love. My vision this year is not just like a love that is a nice word or a nice concept or a nice ideal, but it's a practical reality, yeah? What can I do in the world around me that will actually show the love of God? What can I do that is actually actively going to show people that God loves them? Yeah? And that's the sort of love that I'm interested in. That's the sort of love that will actually make a difference, I think. It is a love that is real, a love that is practical, and a love that actually changes something, amen? Not just telling somebody that God loves them, but doing something about it, yeah? I really believe that when we can live out of simple acts of love, it makes a huge difference in the people around us. In James 2, he says this. He says, "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if people claim to have faith but have no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother and a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead." And when I was thinking about love and practical love, this verse really popped into my head, and I was thinking, what's the point of saying, like, we're about love and we want to see the love of Christ in our city and in our community if we don't do anything? There's no point in telling somebody who is starving that Jesus loves them. Well, there might be, but, you know, feed them first. So something that I'm excited about, and we're going to start this term, and we're going to start it on a Friday night, and we're going to be doing it on a Sunday night as well, is a campaign that is called Love is Our Weapon. And I'm excited about it, and I'm just going to show a quick video that kind of summarizes it, and I'm going to talk a little bit about it. Ta-da.
What if we could change all the hurt that goes on in our city? What if we could start a revolution here in our country? A revolution is an uprising, a revolt, a change. It is for something and against something else. What if our revolution was against hate, fear, hurt, and rejection? This revolution would stand for love. Love. In the past, revolutions have been fought with bombs, guns, and violence. Love is our weapon. We launch this revolution across 10 weeks with a different deed each week. Our revolution will be this simple. Number one, be informed. Find out via your church, Facebook, or your loveisourweapon.com page what the current deed is. Number two, be active. Pray, choose a day, and go out and complete that week's deed. And number three, tell someone. Finally, go to your local loveisourweapon.com page and hit the done button. This adds your deed to your local counter and the global counter. Imagine thousands of acts of love done in your city over a 10-week period. That's a revolution. Join the revolution. The Love is Our Weapon campaign.
Woo! All right, so this is part of something bigger, and there are churches and youth ministries all over the world, literally, that are already doing this. And it's a really, I love it. It's a great campaign. I'm really excited about it. Basically, what it is we want to show our city the love of Christ in a really practical way. And so to do that, what's going to happen is each week for the next 10 weeks, so we're in for the long haul, on a Friday night and on a Sunday night, we will be shown a deed, a thing to do in that week to practically show somebody the love of Christ, yeah? And so what happens is we're going to start next week, and we're going to start this Friday night. And what's going to happen is we will show up like a thing, and it'll be like the first one is called Cheer a Champ. So you can get like a head start if you want. And it's about encouraging people. So it's real simple. And then that week what happens is you go out and you encourage as many people as you can. And then we come back together and we celebrate that, and we see how many people have been encouraged. And the interesting and the fun thing, and the thing to talk to Ben about, because he helped build the website and he's wearing the t-shirt. You should come up here with the t-shirt quickly, Ben. Ben has been helping the guys. There it is. We can get these t-shirts. They're fair trade. Let us know and we'll order them together or something. The guys that have been who created this program from a church down in Nowra, Ben, you gonna stay there for a second so I can talk. And Ben has been developing the website, which is very exciting and a massive job. Thanks, you can go now. but what you need to do is next week we'll have extra staff and we'll have cards and everything to help. But go to loveisourweapon.com. If you've got an iPhone, don't go there now because you'll get distracted, but write it down. Go to that, and then you can sign in. And then there is already a City Life Youth Love is Our Weapon page. And so you go to loveisourweapon.com and you say, I want to join. Like, there's a thing on the side that says join, and you join our Love is the Revolution, or Love is Our Weapon. It used to be called that anyway. Love is Our Weapon thing. And then every time you do a deed, you click a button on the website that says you've done the deed. And then on our site, there's this counter on the top that says how many deeds have been done as a total and how many deeds have been done for each deed. And then also on the homepage, you can see how many have been done around the world already. So you can see what you're part of. So what you need to do when you leave tonight, go to loveisourweapon.com, sign up, and then wait, and then we'll be uploading the first deeds, and we're starting from next week. Woo! I'm excited about it. It's going to be really good, and I really believe that it's going to just make a huge difference in our lives as we shift the focus away from what we need and what's happening in our own lives, and we really focus on doing something for the people around us, yeah? And doing acts of love in our community, and in our city, and in our community. Like, it's going to be such a great thing. And I really hope that this isn't just like a 10-week campaign, but this is like it becomes a way of life where we would just do acts of love in our city and in our world that would really show people that God loves them. So just to finish up tonight, I think that really God has so much for 2011 for us. That there is just so much in store. I think we're going to really see just this community of believers build stronger and stronger, where we love each other and we help each other and we encourage each other and we build faith. This community that is open, that is welcoming, that does not criticize or judge or put down, but where everybody kind of connects together, that we're going to see mission focus, where we're going to see incredible things come out of that. I really believe that as we all start to look at what God has for us to do in our community, that we're going to see new ministries open up, we're going to see new things happen, we're going to see people saved, we're going to see just stuff happening in our city as we go beyond our walls, and we're going to do that all in love and in real practical love that is actually going to make a difference, amen. And so I'm excited, and make sure that you get here every week for the next 10 weeks. Make sure you go and sign up, because that's going to happen and it's going to be good. And the more people that sign up and do it, you'll be able to see. I think that one of the exciting things is I can go on the website and it can say like 15 people have already done something this week. And then that's like an encouragement to me to do something, yeah? So make sure you sign up. I'm just going to pray. God, just thank you so much for the gift that this year is. And God, just for everything that you have in store for us. God, we just pray your blessing over everything that you will have us do, God, over this campaign and over everything that we have planned, God, that your hand would just be on it and your blessing would just be on it. And God, that you would move in an incredible way in our city, God, that we would just see more of you this year, God, that we would just see more of your purpose, more of your blessing, more of your presence, God, and we would see more people come to accept you as their Savior and their God, Lord. And I just pray that you would just have just your hand and your protection over all of us this year, God, as we try and fulfill the vision that you've given to us. Just before we finish, tonight was a bit like just been about vision and about what we want to see happen this year, but if you don't know God and you don't have a relationship with God, then I want to talk with you about that and give you an opportunity to start that tonight. That song that we sang before says, he gave himself as nothing to come to our defense. And that's talking about Jesus, who gave up a place in heaven, like where he had everything and had all power, and he became a man and he died for me, he died for you, he died for us, so he could defend us and we wouldn't have to spend eternity separated from God. And God wants a relationship with you, and he wants to start that tonight. And so if you want to accept Jesus into your life as your Lord, as your Savior, if you want to start a relationship with him, then I want to give an opportunity for you to respond to that so that we can pray together. So if that's you and you want that, then just raise your hand while everyone's just got their head bowed and their eyes closed. Awesome. Just put your hand up, yeah. And we'll just pray together. That's good. I'm just going to give it a minute. Thank you. Thank you, God. God, I thank you for people who have responded tonight. And for every person here, God, that we would just know your love and acceptance. And we would know what you've done for us, God, that you would come into our lives, that you would fill us with your presence, God, that you would use us for your glory, and that you would just start relationship with us, God. We give ourselves to you tonight. We pray that you would just have your way with our lives. Amen. If everyone maybe stand with me, we're going to pray this prayer together before we finish with the song. If you raised your hand tonight, or that's the first time you've really thought about having a relationship with God, then really pray this from your heart and make sure you talk to somebody later as well. Dear Jesus, I believe in you. Thank you for forgiving me. Come into my life and I'll follow you. Amen.